There's this myth that to be an artist, you must struggle. I'm here to tell you that that's not true. This is a podcast for people who are looking to realign with their inspiration and intuition. We chat with industry professionals about everything from their spiritual experiences to the everyday practices that help them stay energetically and mentally in tune. My name is Madeline Corliss. I'm the creator of The Energy Studio. Welcome to The Energy Studio Podcast. If you work in a creative career, I want to let you know about my course, Unblock Your Creative Career. Unblock Your Creative Career is a 9-week intensive that combines psychology, industry knowledge, and energy healing to help you realign and thrive as a creative being. For more information about Unblock Your Creative Career, check out my website, the-energy-studio.com. Hello, hello. In this episode of the Energy Studio Podcast, we are speaking with Rock the Auditions, Sherry Sanders. She also has an awesome podcast that you might know her from called Cause and Effect on the Broadway Podcast Network. Sherry and I are kindred spirits. We cover so many different topics. We talk about our own personal trauma and how it's influenced our art. We talk about the need for mental healing and mental wellness in the theater industry. And we talk about how the industry is shifting right now and how we can no longer operate the way that we have been for however long we've been operating this way. So get ready. This conversation is cuckoo bananas amazing. Let's go.
So I asked Madeline. So Madeline invited me onto this podcast. And the first thing I did was say, Madeline, tell me a little bit about you and who's making this podcast.
Yeah. I am an actor in New York and, you know, yeah. I do the thing, I do the auditions, yeah. I do all of the things. And a few years ago, I burnt out hardcore. Yeah. And I was the person who would do like 7 auditions in a day. Like I was that insane person. I burnt out really hard and I wasn't listening to my body. I wasn't tuning into all those voices being like, you need to slow down. You need to like actually take time to meditate and do those types of things. And I was just going to work and going to auditions and that's all I was doing. And I ended up getting really sick. And
In what way?
So I caught just this cold that I was like, it's a sinus infection. It'll go away. I used to get them as a kid all the time. And I got it around, I think it was like Thanksgiving. I woke up like the morning of Thanksgiving and was like, oh my, I'm stuffy. Like I'll feel fine in a week. And then I would get a little bit better and then I'd get worse. And then I get a teeny bit better and I get worse. And it was this way for 6 months. Like it was so bad. And I went to all the doctors and I finally went to an allergist who was like, you're developing asthma. And I was like, what? And she was like, yeah, I had like a minimal allergy to dust mites. And she was like, it might be that. And like your immune system just can't catch up. And so I had started developing asthma and I was like, this is not going to work. And I had a moment of maybe there's something off on a different level that I'm not tuning into. And so I was like, maybe I need to do Reiki. Like, I don't know what I need to do. And, simultaneously, I was on an airplane going to visit my mom for Christmas and I was watching The Holiday and I thought, oh God, I would love to do that. Like I would love to just go to Europe and live life. And I remember having the thought of, wait, I can do that. Like that is fully in my power. So I did. And I planned a trip.
Went to Europe?
Yeah. So I planned a trip for 2 weeks by myself. And I just like packed my bags and went to Paris and went to London and
you're incredible.
It was just phenomenal and it completely changed my life. But while I was there, I had some like weird energy experiences. And a friend of mine was like, wait, I know an energy healer in Paris. You need to go see them. And I was like, are you kidding me? This is amazing. So I went and we did a 4-hour session, which like, this is what I do now. And that's just like insane. Like, I'm so grateful to this healer who was like, you got a lot of stuff happening and we're just going to like wham it all out. So we worked for a long time and within a week, all of my sinus stuff was gone. The weird pain in my body was gone.
Oh!
And I was like, I'm sold. We're good. Yeah. Like 100%. And it all made sense to me. And now I tell people, I'm like, for people who understand this kind of energy work, it feels like coming home. It feels like all of those things that you're like, I know that's out there, but I'm not quite sure what it is. It feels like remembering instead of learning. And it's just so lovely to do. And so I just jumped right in. I was like, I'm sold. I understand all of this world and I want to help people in this way. And so I integrated that into what I was doing every day. And within like 2 months, I was in final callbacks for a dream tour. And like all of these things started falling into place. And I was like, oh, taking care of myself was the thing that was missing. And like, I could hustle for years and I wasn't going to get anywhere because I wasn't tuned into myself or to what I was supposed to be doing in the world. So that's how I started in this. And then,
oh, wow. So you're, wait, so you are an energy healer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, so, my fucking God.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to have a great conversation. You and I,
met. I'm so excited. I'm so excited.
Me too.
And I, in the pandemic, so I had started training and doing all the things and the pandemic started. And about a month in, I had friends start coming to me and being like, I don't know what to do. And after working on a few friends, I was like, oh, there's actually a really big need for this. And so I opened up.
And how?
Yeah. I opened up the energy studio and I was like, all right, people, I can help you if you need it. Like, here we are. So that's what I've been doing since the beginning of the pandemic. And it's been so just rewarding and something that I think our industry really needed. Like, I think our industry really needed this break and, like a recalibration and realignment of how am I living my life and can I actually survive in this way? And also like, am I happy? So yeah.
You are, first of all, fucking incredible, Madeline. So the first thing that I wanted to do is, as you were telling me the story of yourself, I was thinking, oh yeah, she was somatizing her trauma. You were physicalizing your pain. And there wasn't, because in musical theater, you're not taught to soul search. You're not taught to look at yourself and work through your trauma and work out your trauma's relationship to the characters that you're playing. You know, that's not what school was about. And school couldn't have been about that until we hit this place, right? This pandemic, which is that now we are all traumatized. Yes. We all have CPTSD. And so now the education has got to bring our trauma into the process, right?
Yes.
So I'm listening to you going, whether you had any kind of trauma at all, what was happening was what the lack of ability to be with yourself or get with that self made you somatize. And it took an energy healer to open the gate and get your hem off the fence, right?
Yeah.
And steer you in the direction of your own destiny, which is to become a healer.
Yeah.
So I'm just excited because I believe in the work that you're doing and how you found it was through your own needing to sort of access your own self. Mm-hmm. Those to me are the best healers, the best teachers, or at least the ones that I respond to the most, who are like inside out.
Yeah.
Who experience it and then teach from experience.
Yeah.
And you heal from experience.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, that's very cool.
And I love that you say that now our education system has to change. Because it's so true. And that's actually, I have a course starting January 20th called Unblock Your Creative Career, where it approaches the, like approaching your creative career from the inside and like, okay, what blocks do I have? What traumas do I have that I haven't dealt with? What are these? We talk about like toxic teachers and the messaging that we get and like healing all those things so that we can get super clear about, okay, these are the creative projects I want to be doing. This is what's in alignment with who I am and what I do. This is what matches me on a soul level and moving from there. Because I think it's so true. It's such a gap in our education system right now.
And we're all fucked up. The teachers are fucked up.
Yeah.
Yep. Couldn't even take care of themselves because they had to take care of their families and these kids. Mm-hmm. The other thing, and Syracuse has had it terrible, the race issues at Syracuse in particular.
Yeah.
You know, that even in the head of the program, Rufus Bonds, is a Black man, and he has not been, he was not immune from assault from the young people who have felt this sort of generational white supremacy inside of school. And that white supremacy isn't just people to people of color. It you know, I think the trauma in schools gave, you know, fat shamed people and gave eating disorders to people and criticized their vibratos. And, you know, it's just like, it was in the education system is based upon the industry. And that's the generational trauma. You see where I'm going? Mm-hmm. The industry is the white supremacist parent. The college is mm-hmm. the kid, and the teen programs are the kids, mm-hmm. right? And then we, the young people or the students, unfortunately become the animal in the house that gets all the assault yeah. when there's assault in the house. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or the youngest sibling. And so to mm-hmm. me, the fact that you're doing this is really exciting, because a lot of, you know, as a person who works with PTSD, which I have complex PTSD, I talk a lot about it because I almost feel like sometime, you know, my PTSD is the reason why I'm an actor that acts the way it's my choices in acting. It's my choices in teaching. It's yeah. who I am as a lover, a friend. You know, like my trauma, I'm a trauma-based person. Yeah. So that's why I think our art needs to go into the trauma. We are, and we're unpacking, finding out where it is. And then we have to sort of like heal it. Yeah. Together, but we don't know how to do it because we've always just been so separate. It's always been like the traumatizers and the traumatized.
Yes. And I remember so viscerally like going into Syracuse and being like, this is the type of actor I'm going to be. And just like deciding and having an image and being like, this is what it is. And just completely ignoring my own experiences and like who I was, and just like not even thinking, do I really want to be a chorus girl? Like, is that what drives me? But I look like a chorus girl, so that's what I should do because that's where success yes. is. And then yes. hitting years out of college and being like, oh my God, I have extreme anxiety being in the chorus. Like precision stuff is not where I live. It's not what I want to do. And it took really trying to be something that I wasn't and failing at it to understand,
find out who you really are. Yeah.
Yeah. And to find out like what I actually wanted to be doing. And God, if someone had said to me when I was 19, all right, think about what you enjoy doing in the world and then craft a career around that, my life would be so different.
And I think that that's why you and I are here, is we get to turn to these young people in college, right? We get to turn to the people in our industry and go, hey, so there's a reason why Sherry and I had to figure this out ahead of time. It was because in this moment you needed somebody to look to,
yeah,
you know? And that was what we, you know, I feel like there is some kind of elegance to the, all of this into the yeah. universe, right?
Yeah.
And not saying that it doesn't suck, because it completely does currently, but there's an elegance to it in that we had to see how sick our industry was, how sick the world was, how bad our mental illness was, how much we need to heal, where the problems are, mm-hmm. because we couldn't go on any longer. And I think that that's what you're saying, that you're asking in young artists, is going, look, this is what you need to do with yourself so you can approach your own career in a very different way. Correct?
Yeah.
You're 100%. A fucking rock star. You are
Thank
a
you.
Fucking rock star. How have you addressed your own trauma? Because I myself, so my trauma yeah. is I've almost died. Mm. I would call this pandemic number three. I've almost died three times, but I had a near-death experience and a car accident. And also I've been mugged at gunpoint. And mm. so, and I also have mental illness in my home that's violent. So I come from the world outside of me being violent and me wanting to make the world less violent so that I could be okay in it.
Yeah.
And so that's how my trauma kind of played itself out. Trauma shows up differently in everybody.
Yeah. Definitely does.
And so how do you think a person can identify their trauma? Because we're all traumatized, but how do we find our trauma's relationship to our artistry, right?
Yeah.
How do we make that new relationship happen?
Yeah. I mean, I think there are so many ways. I think when I do an energy healing with someone, I do it through the body. and I have them tune into their body. And I'm like, what feels off? You don't have to have a reason. You don't have to be like, oh, I did this exercise and my muscle hurts. Just like, do a body scan. What feels off? And then energetically, I tune into that area and see what's going on. Because I mean, the body stores everything. And
the body keeps the score.
100%. And they have all this new science supporting it, that like our muscles hold memory. DNA replicates those memories as we grow and change. And then we inherit our parents' DNA. So we inherit trauma. So like, and that's a big thing of mine, is that I grew up in a very safe home, and my parents were very attentive to my safety because they did not grow up in those situations.
So they were the parents they never had.
Yeah. So most of my trauma has been inherited, and it's taken me seeing other people go through things, or me living out certain patterns and like ending up in certain relationships, to be like, oh, I'm here because this pattern still lives in me. This belief system, even though my parents found a way to cope and act differently
and survive it. Yeah.
No one healed
it. You still got it. It showed up in you.
So over the last few years, I've been finding all these things. It's like, oh, there's abuse in that line. There's this trauma and that thing. And so I've been the one who's going through and healing it. And it's so funny because I healed this thing. And this is actually something I heal a lot for people, especially women, this thread of, I am not enough. And it's a big part of the female wound, but I healed it. I did a big ancestral healing for my family. And I could see so clearly it healing through the female line and coming for me. And it was so beautiful and powerful. And about a month later, my mom called me and she was like, I had this moment at work the other day where this guy was talking to me and he was belittling me. And I just had this moment of, no, I'm better than this. I am more than this. I don't deserve this behavior. And I was like, yes, you did. And she was like, you did a healing on this, didn't you? And I was like, yes, I did. And I was like, and it worked. So it's so fascinating how those things work. And I think, especially because mental health and wellness and energetic wellness is becoming much less stigmatized.
That's right.
This generation can actually talk about it and get the healing that they need. Whereas like my parents, I mean, they
didn't have a language. Therapy,
but they, and they also didn't have-
Therapy didn't have a language yet.
Yeah. And like, there wasn't the intergenerational conversation. Whereas like, I've been able to talk to my parents and be like, hey, why do I have this anxiety about this thing? Like, what is it that I inherited from you? And being able to have those conversations. And like, there's such a vivid memory in my head of me calling my mom once and being like, I'm having such a hard time with this thing that happened to somebody that I know. And I was like, I don't know why I'm responding so strongly. Like, it just doesn't make sense. And she was like, all right, so it's time to tell you some things. And she was like,
get grounded.
Yeah. And she was like, so you've experienced that on both sides of your family. And like, you just didn't know. And I was like, of course, like I had a visceral reaction because it was in my DNA and I didn't know. So like, that's how my trauma has come up.
Okay, you're fucking wild and wonderful. You know, when you talk about generational trauma, which is interesting because I have, and it's an interesting conversation because of the intimate relationship that I get to have right now as an ally with folks of color in the industry. Yeah. They have generational trauma. They have 400 years of trauma, thousands of years of trauma if they're Asian, right? So there's trauma like all over everything. And I also have a generational trauma as a Jewish person. Mm-hmm. You know, when I saw that gentleman on the news who was wearing a shirt that was basically saying like, let's get these Jews back in the oven. It brought up my generational trauma, which was that my mother, my sister, my grandmother, my grandmother's brothers and sisters, we have all been a part, we've all experienced the Holocaust, right? Yeah. So the anxiety, the panic, the things that come just because my mother's trauma passed right into mine as soon as I was, in her belly.
Yeah.
I get her trauma. Yeah. And she got her mother's, so like that generational trauma and the difficulty of healing the generations before you, mm-hmm. so that you don't keep reenacting that trauma with other people.
Yeah.
That's the work that I am finding challenging, which mm-hmm. is interesting because I didn't talk to my mom for 6 months because my mom is a bully and my sister's a bully. Mm-hmm. And I've gotten bullied my whole life. And what would happen was, is I would try to work with my mother and my sister. We try to go to therapy to get, you know, they're undiagnosed. My sister's undiagnosed bipolar, violent. Mm-hmm. My mother's a narcissist. And to me, these things are both should be medicated, both should be in therapy, and they're not, right? Yeah. Well, my mother's in therapy now because I was like, I'm not going to talk to you until you get into therapy. So anyway, I'm trying to work out the generational trauma right now between me yeah. and my mother and my sister and my grandmother, because it's killing me to carry to have been born into trauma and then have to be in service to other people's trauma and my own trauma at the same time.
Yeah. So
generational trauma is tricky because it's in the bloodstream. It's in the nervous system. It's in behavior. It's mm-hmm. in just the way you're built and the chemicals, you know, and it changes you. It makes your synapses release things that happened, you know, 100 years ago, you know, into the moment in, you know, 2020. Yeah. And we're all walking around with that in some way, which yeah. is why we got to this point. And so in that regard, you know, I have, as a Jew, I've also always been a seeker, and I've always wanted to be, I have always felt a calling of some kind. Mm-hmm. Can't say I knew what it was. And I thought I was like, I'll change the world as an actress. And it's like, you can't do that. Like purposefully, you kind of yeah. like that. So it's like an accident.
Yeah.
But I did find my calling, like you did, through trauma and through somatizing my trauma and through having to look at my trauma. Mm-hmm. I was able to become somebody who could use popular music and eventually musical theater and opera to heal trauma.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so there is a world where we could very well do this all together, but it takes people having to admit that they're traumatized. See mm-hmm. it, see their part of things, and then rearrange their furniture, mental furniture, rearrange the furniture so that we can all do our part by making ourselves healthier people.
100%. And as you were talking,
somebody like you is so helpful too, because there's certain things that people can't fucking do.
Yeah.
And you could do it.
Yeah. And that's what I have so much fun doing that. And I'm like, no, let's just like do this thing. And something that you were saying about before we pass it on, one of my favorite things. So I'm taught in the shamanic practices of energy healing.
Right.
And one of the principles is that we heal in all directions of time. So it's not just I heal this moment. It's I heal the future and the past, and I heal what's happening to the sides of me because of whatever event happened. And I think that's just so beautiful to think about, that like we have the ability to heal in all directions of time. It's not just right now.
Right. By healing ourselves.
Exactly.
And what I love that you just said about that is that it is forward and backwards, but it's also all around us.
Yeah.
We respond to things differently. We see things clearer mm-hmm. and can be in things different. Like the effects, the ripple effect is fierce.
Oh, it's so great. I have one client who frequently says, she's like, you know, I see the darkness very clearly now. She's like, my experience of pain and grief is so much more full. But she was like, in that experience, the world is brighter. And she's like, I walk outside and I can see the beauty and the brightness of things because I have felt my own grief instead of just letting it cloud everything. And I was like, yes, that's
the goal, right?
That's it. Like, we can't have, I mean, people say, you know, the goal is being happy. And it's like, no, you're not going to reach a point where you're just happy all the time. That's not realistic.
Yeah, just being present. That's the goal, right?
Yeah, 100%. And I was also remembering as you were speaking that inherited trauma and the stories that we have, I also think that as creators and artists, they can also be used once they're like healed and healthy to be used in a certain way.
Yeah.
I think they can be used to like so greatly support our art. I remember so clearly, I have this fabulous acting coach who frequently asks, do you know what it feels like to blank? So like whatever the character's going through, do you know what it feels like to blank? I don't remember what I was working on at all, but he said, do you remember what it feels like to go crazy? Or do you know what it feels like to go crazy? And I had the, I like checked in with my body and I had this flash that I know I had an, I have an ancestor who went crazy. And I was like, I do. Like somewhere in my body understands that because that's in my lineage. And I was able to tap into that and use it in that scene. And then I was able, he has, he's a fabulous coach and knows how to help you tap out of that in a safe way.
Incredible.
Yeah, he's phenomenal. Right. But I remember sitting there and being like, wow, this work isn't just about me getting through the day to day. It's about a depth of understanding that I can bring to my art that like makes it that magical experience where you're like, that person's sane, but why do they understand crazy in that way? And it's like, because it's in my DNA. It's somewhere in there.
Okay, this is some deep shit right now, and I am loving it. So you're saying, let me see if I'm hearing this correctly.
Yeah.
You're saying that in the healing work we do, it gets us in touch with our ancestral trauma and in a relationship with our ancestors that gives us essentially an open gate to information about our lives ancestrally, and we can tap into creativity of things that have been passed down through generations, or whether we know what they are or not.
Yes, 100%.
So this healing of trauma lets us into our history and our family's history and our lifetime's, like our livelihood's history for creativity. My mind is blown. My mind is blown. Can I ask some, not saying that these aren't fun questions that we're talking about, because actually all of this is like, I feel like I'm with a, like you're reaching out to me right now feels like, oh my God, I just met like somebody like me.
Yeah.
Even though I don't do the hands-on work, I channel, which means that I get out of my own way and I get with a person. I don't ask, what do you want to tell me? Whoever's upstairs already knows I'm doing that. So as soon as I get with somebody and put my attention on them, the information starts coming through and I use my language to get them connected, right?
Yeah.
So we do the same thing. It's just not, and it is, mine's verbal, right? As opposed to just simply energetic, moving energy.
Yeah.
But it's so cool to meet you. So I have to ask fun questions. Please right do. This second, because I don't think I've ever asked anybody these questions.
Oh my God, ask
away. And these
away.
Are things I think about all the time. Are you psychic? Like, do you have an ability to intuit things energetically? But other questions I'm so curious about, because you're tapped into a part of yourself. So I'm interested in, you know, I think about, you know, people who are mediums. I think about anybody who's tapped in.
Yeah.
To the thing and knows how to get out of the way for the thing to come through. What is there anything else that comes through that you're like, this is cool. I didn't know this was going to be like that, you know, or this comes along with it. That's kind of fun that I like that, you know, like I think about people and then they show up and how my psychic stuff shows up. I'm like, don't, I just thought about you.
Yeah.
And sometimes weird, like somebody, like I'll see them and I'll be like, don't, okay, listen. Yes, I'm from high school. I know. Listen, I just thought about you 2 days ago.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen you in 25 years. I just needed to let you know. Go ahead, keep walking.
Yep.
So that's the only place it really shows up for me is like I can kind of like see certain things coming.
Yeah.
I just gave you a lighter version of that. But do you find that there's any places where you're like, wow, this is a really cool thing that came out of my tapping in?
Totally. I call it synchronicities. I think that when you get in communication with the universe and you start to listen, that you just pick up on things in a different way. And I like to compare it to, how did our ancestors know where to travel and where to migrate? Like when we were nomads, how did they know, I have to go this way to get to food, I have to go this way to get to water? And they didn't have cell phones to be like, hey, it's snowing over here. Like,
yeah, it's like
move the other way.
Like, yeah, you're like,
yeah, like that's not how it worked. So they had that understanding and that connection with nature of, And there, yeah. And there are all those things now that they're showing in science of like the trees communicating underground and how there are different frequencies and energies that shift and ways that the world communicates us with us that we don't tune into. So one, just like opening up to that. And something that's been very relevant during the pandemic is picking up on the energies of different locations. And yes. Like I live over in Jersey City, so I'm not in New York proper, but at the very beginning of the pandemic, even moving closer to the water and being able to see New York, it was like, oh, you can feel the grief and the fear and that just like weight and just being a tiny bit away from it. And I had to put up energetic barriers. I was like, it is not healthy for me to tune into that energy right now. Like I need to be in my own little sanctuary and yep. I have to be well to help others be well. So
I'm glad you did that.
Oh God, me too.
Well, it gave you a greater intuition about your needs and how to protect yourself so you can be in service.
Yeah. Yeah.
So your self-care and self-worth mm-hmm. has changed.
100%. Yeah. And in terms of being psychic, I don't think of myself as psychic. I have mm-hmm. My opinion on psychics as we think of them is that I don't think anybody can directly tell you what's going to happen in the future. I think Agreed. That what they see is one path and one potential outcome.
Yes. But
there are so many things at play that it's almost impossible to predict. Like this is actually what's going to happen because in order for one thing to happen, 10,000 other 80 things million have to happen. Things. Yeah. So I think that a psychic or communicating with spirit guides or whatever it is that you do can show you one potential outcome.
Some information.
Yeah. And
some information. Yeah.
The way that I like to approach it is when I do tap into that information is asking, okay, if I make this choice, what might this outcome look like? If I make this choice, what might this outcome look like? And seeing the different ways that things could play out. And then if I'm feeling really indecisive, deciding based on that. But also I love what you're saying about thinking about someone and then them calling.
Yeah.
I call that energetic pinging, where it's like, oh, I'm thinking about someone, amazing. They can feel that I'm thinking about them. And so then they're thinking about me. And it's actually something I teach my clients because this happens a lot with the endings of relationships, where it's like, I'm trying not to think about them. I know I don't need to be with them. I don't want them in my life anymore. And yet they still keep showing up or they still keep being on my mind. And so how do we cut those cords and set those boundaries with ourselves so we aren't continuously being pulled to things that aren't serving us?
Can I just tell you that you are making my mind explode? Like, I feel like you're coming to me and talking to me like this. I'm like, whoever is up there, thank you for this unbelievable creature. I mean, this is the work I've been doing my whole life that you're talking about. You're just a different human being who's found it in a totally different way and has a different mechanism to do it with.
Yeah.
It's the same. We have the same result, which is to get yourself well and clear so that you could be in your artistry without any, without anything from your life getting in the way, whether you know it or not.
Yeah.
You know, it's the relationship to yourself. Mm-hmm. So I've never, you know, even though I'd love, if anybody ever wanted to do a musical of the Long Island Medium, I would very much like to play that character. What is your Teresa Caputo? But to me, that's a different kind of channeler or psychic. Like that's a different thing than anything I have. I don't do any of those things, but or feel any of those things. But I feel like in the theater community, I developed kind of a psychic ability or antenna because I've been traumatized. And when people are as traumatized as I was at the time, I built a psychic ability sort of out of survival. So I started to be able to see things coming and the alarms would go off or I would see things coming knowing, oh my God, I should, like Pop Rock was the first time where I was like, this is going to be a problem, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Okay, let me grab it since I'm not doing anything and I don't have to, you know, and then when the on camera, you know, when we went on Zoom, I was like, oh, I have an on-camera technique. I made it up a year and a half ago. Let's go. You know, like, I just have always been, and then music notes, audition cuts. It's like, these are the things that my sort of being able to sense where the need's going to come mm-hmm. has been so awesome. Cause like something cool came out of something shitty, yeah. which is these antenna, which would make me oftentimes paranoid because that's my ancestral trauma. Yeah. You know, we're paranoid Jews. We hold on to our things and run for our lives. And, mm-hmm. you know, we don't know where the next meal is going to come. Even if we're rich, that's how we feel.
Yeah.
You know, the work that the opportunities that I've gotten by getting into a relationship with my trauma and using it creatively mm-hmm. has been like why I'm here. So, and on top of that, so this is a fun story to share, if you don't mind.
I'm loving so this ready.
Conversation. So, while I, oh my God, there's so many parts of the story. So let me just cut to the chase. I lost one of my closest friends. I believe she took her life. And this was a while ago. It was maybe like 2 years ago, maybe longer. I don't know what day it is or what time it is or, you know, what day it is today. But we had a particular relationship where she and I kind of always told the truth with each other. Mm-hmm. And she passed. And then the pandemic happened. And I literally felt like she has had her hand on my shoulder the entire pandemic.
Mm.
And she's there and she has watched every step and has been a part of, and I've just, and a perfect example was I was supposed to see two of my friends. I haven't seen any friends since July. Mm. I moved to Connecticut and I live near my dad. So I see him and the chiropractor and the grocery store clerk. But there've been these little times here and there where I was like, oh my God, Poppy, way to go. Ah, Poppy, you watching out for me. Mm-hmm. You know, just feeling like it was her, sometimes joking, but sometimes real.
Yeah.
And then these friends were supposed to come and they got tested and I got tested and they were negative and I was negative. And 10 minutes before they got to my house, one of them got a phone call and said that their negative turned positive.
Oh God.
And I was like, Poppy, you son of a bitch.
Yeah.
You just protected me. And so that's why it's to me, it's like, we owe it to ourselves to get connected
100%. To that thing.
And what is up there? Because there is too much in there and there is room in our brain yeah. to believe that it exists.
100%.
And I think that's where you get your goodies from. And that's where I get my goodies from. And that's where Poppy is. And that's where my former agent is and my other mentor is. They're a part of making of the good things that happen, you know? So I love that. Do you ever have anything that feels like that as opposed to, all right, I'm picking up energy. Do you know someone named Sally or Sam? But more like just be the connection.
Oh yeah.
And where the connection time. Shows up in cool ways for you personally.
Yeah. All the time. And like, I'm trying to think of a solid example, but like I ask for universal symbols a lot. So like, I'm a big fan of just like opening up the communication and being like, hey universe, just like, tell me what I need to know when I need to know it. And like, I will listen to you. And that there's a trust that builds and you have to yeah. build it that like, it's not just a like, all right, universe, I'm going to trust you now. All of a sudden it's like, you have to build that relationship.
Agreed. Yeah. Oh, you're amazing. You're great. Agreed.
And I remember reading Gabby Bernstein's book, The Universe Has Your Back. And she talks.
Yes. About, I remember that book. Yeah.
So wonderful. And she talks about asking for a universal symbol. So one of mine is an elephant. It was like 4 years ago now. I just said to the universe, I was like, if I am on the right path and if I am doing what I'm supposed to do, send me an elephant, like exactly. just show me an elephant and it'll be a reminder of like, oh, okay, I'm doing the right thing. And there have just been so many times. I mean, even this weekend, I went to go pick up cat food and then was like, you know, I just want to like drive a little bit more. I don't want to just go right home. And I ended up just like following the highway a little bit. And I knew there was like a park somewhere along the way. And I was like, great. Just like seeing water will be useful for me right now.
Yes.
Somewhere my brain needs this. And so I was driving. And as I was driving, I was like, I think I should go a little bit further, but I don't know. I was like, I'm just going to go. And as I like crossed the next exit, there was a sign with an elephant on it passing. I was like, yep, I'm supposed to just keep driving. Great. That's all I needed. So like, there are things that happen like that all the time where I'm like, all right, I'm glad I was listening.
That's what I'm talking about. It's mm-hmm. the listening. Yeah. That's what I'm saying is that when you choose to always be listening or always ask,
yeah,
then whatever's up there, that's how you develop the relationship and the trust. And they say, I'm going to give you the information. That's a great, the symbol is something I've actually never done. So now I want to go do that because I feel like that's really exciting and inspiring. I've never thought about it. I mean, I like squirrels. I don't know if that's a good, I could make that. Yeah. And foxes. You said you built a curriculum?
Yeah. So I have it's launching, well, by the time this episode's out, it'll already be started. The first round will, and it's called Unblock Your Creative Career. And it's built in three-week segments. So the first 3 weeks is excavation work. So like doing speed writing exercises, tapping into that unconscious brain of, how do I really feel about these things? Cause there's so much hidden in there that, you know,
when how do I really feel? Loose,
it's like, well, and I think, a lot of people, especially when you have trauma or, when you have experienced difficult times in something, especially when you care about something deeply, which I think so many people in the theater industry experience, there's a lot of resentment, there's a lot of anger, there's a lot of pain that's just not dealt with, because if I deal with the pain, I might fail. If I deal with the pain, I might be a failure. Like, and that's just so not the case. And so going in and exploring, how do I feel about the industry? Why did I start this? What are the stories I was told? What are my family's belief systems about being an artist? A huge one is the concept of the starving artist, of like, I have to be struggling to be an artist unless I'm famous. And it's like, why do we make ourselves live this way? So that's the first 3 weeks. And then after the third week, we do a one-on-one energy healing right away. So we heal the mental and then heal the soul level. And then the middle 3 weeks is looking at patterns in the industry. So there's a whole week on adrenaline dominance, which is a big thing for me, where it's what creates that up and down. And there's this phenomenal book called Adrenaline Dominance that goes through what likely happened with all of those big movie stars and like Michael Jackson in that time period, where all of a sudden they were just like dropping dead. This guy goes through and talks about the hormones of adrenaline and how that is likely what actually caused their deaths, because
the hormones,
you can look at each of them. Like Michael Jackson was the one that I was like, oh my God, this makes sense, where he walked through what was happening in his life at that time. He was like, he had just taken this long break. He was going back into rehearsals, which boosts your adrenaline. And then you don't, when your adrenaline is high, you don't feel the need to eat. So you aren't eating, which then messes up with all these other things. And so it messes with your sleep cycle. And then there's higher anxiety because you're sleep deprived. And so then, and the modern medicine way to heal this is piling on more and more drugs. And so he goes through the whole thing of like, this is so common in artists, of that constant up. And then we enjoy the high of the adrenaline. And so we seek it out instead of crashing. And so we have a whole week on adrenaline dominance and like how to combat that, so that you aren't in that constant up and down where you're just like killing your energetic system. And then we have a week about masculine versus feminine energy. And I don't even know half the time. About like, how do we tap into those? Because if you look at creative industry, it's a paradox. Like creativity is the feminine and then the industry is the masculine. And so how do you tap into both of those energies within yourself in a healthy way? And then we also go into the hierarchy of needs, because I think like if you look at the base needs of humans, food, shelter, water, warmth, sleep. Yeah. And the top of, so if you look at Maslow's hierarchy of needs, the top is psychological fulfillment, which as artists, we prioritize that. We're taught to prioritize that fulfillment over our base needs.
Yeah.
But when we neglect our base needs, we have health issues, there's stress, we just mess ourselves.
We fail in all the other places. Yeah,
exactly. So, that week is all about looking at the hierarchy of needs, am I getting my needs met? How can I shift some things in my lifestyle so that my needs are being met and I can create from a safe place instead of feeling like I have to get this job or I can't eat, because no one likes that energy. And then also
you would call that smelling the fish in this, in the room.
And then
it's smelling the fear. And the desperation.
And then talking about finances too. And like, how do you
forecast
as a, how do you forecast as a performer what my income is going to be? And how do you make sure you're in a safe place? And then we do another healing there. So it's like, oh, I've discovered all of these things about what my patterning is. And like, okay, now we're going to heal on a soul level. Why do I fall into these patterns? Why do I have these belief systems? Because most of them are not just like picked up from around us. It's things we've inherited. And then the last 3 weeks is about focusing your values. So I frequently use the analogy of, if we think of ourselves as air, when air is dispersed and scattered, we don't notice it. It's just there. And it's just a part of our everyday life. No attention is brought to it. But when air is focused, it's one of the strongest forces in the world. So how do we take your air of, I'm trying to do everything, I'm trying to be everything so I can work, and focus in on, what are my values? What do I actually want my life to look like? What are the stories I need to be telling? And focusing your air so that you're noticeable in this industry, and making plans and rituals for yourself so that when those hard times come, because they're going to, you have the things in place to be like, all right, today is not the day that I am going to plan 4 months of a podcast passion project. Today's the day that I need to just do a vocal warm-up and move my body. And that's all I have to do today.
And do my laundry. And that's all I'm doing today. Exactly. Or maybe I'll do my laundry tomorrow.
You know, it took me 2 weeks to get my laundry done. I just did it yesterday. We're good.
I got a question for you, which I think is really important. And some of the stuff that I really, really think about, you know, just in terms of, you know, we as a society and as an industry have realized that we have all been running away from trauma. So meaning that, i.e., the industry has been running away from other people's trauma and their own traumas. Because when you think about it, you know, the big thing that I've experienced in the industry is narcissism, is the sort of cis white gay male who's been sort of harmed in life as a gay man, taking their crap out on Black people and women and mental health women. You know, that's been my experience in the industry, and how that, how the suffering of the gay white male has harmed other people, even gay white females, right? Even somebody who's on your team, you know, that that has been a majority of the people who have been making decisions in the casting offices, in the producers, holding the money, not giving women a chance, not giving people of color a chance, you know, because they want to feel okay. That's their trauma causing other trauma. So what it is that we have to address the generational issues inside of the industry. And the problem is, not necessarily the problem, but we have to kind of be with it where we are and hope it infiltrates up to the top. Because if you've got a narcissist and you're telling a narcissist you harm people, they're going to go, what are you talking about? I did all these things. I'm a great guy. Everybody loves me. You know, they're not going to go, what? Well, you know, they're going to be like, fuck you, you're fired. You'll never work another day. That is the system that we were in up until the pandemic. And so when we come back from the pandemic, knowing that we're going to have, knowing that there are people in the industry, and I do want to say this, there are a lot of people in the industry who are really making a concerted effort to change, like particularly the colleges, I want to say, they are pulling their shit together. I think it's going to infiltrate from there. But the deeper work you're talking about is, even if you make the system better, I'm still fucked up. I'm still fucked up as an artist because you raised me wrong. And now I'm in the industry, not connected to my artistry and my trauma, but what you've done is you've kind of shaped me into a mold of something that I'm not, a traumatized mold of something that I'm not, into a traumatized situation.
Yeah.
So it's literally going from one house of trauma to another house of trauma, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not every school. That's not every teacher. It's just the industry, and they're, and they do exist inside of that trauma and are trying, they might be trying to figure out how to not traumatize you. You know, Amy Rogers at Pace University, who thank God just stepped down. She's actually my former girlfriend also, but you know, Amy, for the years that she was running Pace, was really thought she was doing the right thing because the industry was going, you have to tell your Black students that they cannot act like that.
Yeah.
So it's like, what do you, so how do I come from trauma, meet trauma, heal trauma with the other traumatized person? Because it takes two hands to clap sometimes. We got to figure out how that other traumatized person can get with their trauma. Or do they get with their trauma? Or how do we handle being with somebody who hasn't been with their trauma and get through the moment? There's so many elements of it because it isn't just the artist.
Yeah.
Everybody has brought their trauma to the moment. Complicit people who looked at things happening and looked the other way. That's their trauma.
Yeah.
Someone taught them to be complicit in their house.
Yeah.
You see where I'm going? It's just like in every, how do we do it? Well, I know you don't have an answer, but from, as we address it individually.
Yeah. Well, and I am a huge believer in the butterfly effect. We want, as humans, we want to feel good. I think we understand when we're not in alignment. A part of us knows. And I believe that when we see somebody else go from being out of alignment to being in alignment,
you want to know how to do it.
Yeah. We're naturally drawn to that. And we're like, wait a minute, if they could change, I can change. And so, I mean, it's not a quick process by any means, but I think the more people who start to decide to show up for themselves and who set those firm boundaries of, no, I don't behave that way anymore. No, I don't interact in those relationships anymore. No, I don't let these things happen in my presence anymore.
Yeah.
It becomes a model for the people who are too scared to do that still. And so it takes a lot of courage. It takes a lot of self-work. It takes a lot of boundaries, and it takes a lot of getting in tune with your values and being in alignment with, this might be a fabulous job, but it is not in alignment with my beliefs, and it's not something I want to support in the world. And so finding a way to be okay saying no and choosing that. And I think there's so much that goes into it. And I think financial support and finding a way to support yourself financially
makes it easier to say no.
100%. And like being able to be a human being outside of your art makes it easier to say no and set those healthy boundaries, which in turn will shift the industry and it will shift the art. And it's just so amazing to me how interconnected it all is. And that, I mean, neuroplasticity.
We're pieces of a puzzle.
Yeah. 100%. Like our brains, when we see someone doing something, our brains literally change their structure to understand that like that is good, which is why who you surround yourself with and what you surround yourself with is so important. Because even if you have the understanding of, I don't want to behave that way, if you're sitting next to somebody who's behaving that way all the time, it's going to be 10 times harder to not see those behaviors and think it's okay. So a lot of self-awareness, a lot of boundary setting.
It's reprogramming.
Yeah.
It's reprogramming our response mechanism, I think, too, right? And so that you have a softer response to something that's triggering and eventually have no response to something that's triggering, right?
Yeah.
It's pretty crucial right now, because how else are we going to make it through? Right?
100%.
We all have kind of been forced to look into our trauma too. I mean, when we get locked up in our houses and we have to look at what we've done to the Black community, for example, and all the other communities of color, but like, we have also had to look at ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so the lucky folks have been like, I really took this time. I really took a good look. I really worked on myself. I picked up an instrument. I did something, you know, that they use the time valuably, even though the time is painful as hell.
Yeah.
You know, I think that that's kind of what helps move those people who've been able to do the work. Now can move the people who have to do the work after us forward.
Yes. I completely
just like you and I are doing.
Yeah.
Thanks for doing this work.
Thank you. And we will talk soon, I'm sure.
Yeah, thanks for this great conversation.
Yes. Have a lovely
day. Bye, Madeline.
Bye.
Love you tons. Yay.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Energy Studio podcast. If you're interested in other course offerings or some free downloads, check out our free online community. There's a link in the show notes to join. And last, but certainly not least, if you enjoyed the music at the beginning of this episode, check out the album Shadow People by our dear friends over at the Heartstrings Project. It was released back in December of 2020, and Deepak Chopra has already named it one of the top new albums of the year. That's all for now. We'll talk soon.